Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
We are getting into Ephesians. We're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept here at Women Rock. I'm really excited about that because I heard from the voice of God and he told me, this is what I want you to do. So as I began studying, I was going all over the place. My world is a little crazy right now, so interruptions are an understatement. And I was trying to focus so hard to study and to get in deep. And then I would get interrupted by a kid. And then I would get interrupted by a husband. And then a phone call. And then something happening at the church. It was just driving me crazy. So we finally got a time where Dan said, I'm going to take everyone away and everything is, don't answer the phone. Don't, if someone's at the door, just hide. And I said, okay. And I got alone and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when that happened. And so I was able to find God in that moment and go, what do you want to say to the girls? And as I began reading the first couple verses that I was the one gonna preach it, I was like, really? These are kind of, really, this is it? Why don't I get the good deep stuff right away? Like, I want to get in to the prayer, the spiritual prayer that changed my life. And God goes, you will get there, but you can't get there until you start here because I wrote it this way. And so let's go there in Ephesians. Actually, before we do, I don't know about you, but I need a little bit of supernatural everything every day. What about you? So today you're going to walk out of here understanding some new things about yourself. I love Ephesians because Ephesians was once written like this in a definition, and I loved it. It says, it is the wealth and the walk and the warfare of a Christian life. That is a beautiful explanation of what Ephesians carries. It's the wealth, it's the walk of your life, and it is the warfare of a Christian's life. I don't know about you, but I do it all, and I need all of that. I need to get fed, I need to get filled up, I need to live a supernatural, I need to get into God's grace, I need to understand what God's wisdom is, I need to know what God needs from me so I can step into it and become what it is God needs me to be. And so that's what we're going to do through this book. And so I'm really excited about what God has. So today you're going to walk out of here. Do not zone out. Pastor Jess has to teach a little. Usually I'm the preacher. I'll probably, what does Dan call it? Treach? He calls it treach. He goes, because he's a teacher. If you know Pastor Dan, he's a teacher. But sometimes he can get treaching and you all are like waving the hankies on a Sunday morning. So I'm going to try and keep myself, a little bit more bottled up. But let me tell you something. When I get into the Word of God, I can't just sit still. When I read the Word, it begins to jump off the pages. So today when we get in, get ready to let the Word of God pour over you like that beautiful anointing oil. And I want you to sit in His presence today. And I want you to get ready because when you can grasp what we're going to get into, then you can take the next steps of what we're going to learn down the road of Ephesians, okay? And so let's get into it. Ephesians 1, we're going to go Ephesians 1, 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in every heavenly place, in all heavenly places in Christ. Listen to me. This can become just what? God and Jesus and grace and peace and blessing. We're going to dig deep into this. First of all, Paul the apostle was in prison. He wrote Ephesians, and while he was in prison, he's writing this to the church of Ephesus. And Paul is a man of God. And you know, I love Paul because every time Paul was talking from the point of being in prison, he said, I'm imprisoned by God. The only person I know that can see that as a call from God, right? Most people be like, get me out of here. The Satan sent me to prison, but not Paul. Paul's like, this is where he needs me right now. This is my God assignment. And so he didn't stay stagnant in prison. He began to write letters to the church of God. And I love that Paul never allowed himself to stay dormant for the things of God, no matter what his circumstances are. We can learn that from Paul. So here he is, he's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he is greeting them in the beginning. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. An apostle, how many know what an apostle is? Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna learn for a second, you ready? An apostle is, the apostles were the prime officers in the Christian church. They're being extraordinary ministers appointed for a time only. They were furnished by their great Lord with extraordinary gifts and the immediate assistance of the Spirit. that they might be fitted for publishing and the spreading of the gospel and for governing the church in its infant state. So that is what Paul was doing. He was spreading the gospel. He was planting churches. He was getting the word of God into people. He was the apostle. I love in this scripture when it says, I, Paul, the apostle, we're going to get, it's bouncing back at me a lot, you guys, in the sound booth. It's poof, poof, poof. I hate that. Okay. The apostles were prime officers in the Christian church, being extraordinary. Paul knew that he could not be an apostle of the gospel of Jesus Christ without the will of God backing him and doing what he needed to get done. You see, it wasn't Paul in his own ability, it was Paul in God's ability. And girls, you are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what can we take from that? You are his hands, you are his feet. And when you go out and you tell someone about Jesus, when you go out and you carry the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, you are in the will of God. You're walking out the path that Paul has laid before us, that Jesus laid before us, and that the apostles and the disciples and everybody before us is talking about here. Now, so we're going to take the old times and bring them into our times. Okay? You are not just obsolete from this because this is an old scripture. This is a scripture that's going to touch our hearts for today. So Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. The saints in Ephesus. You know, a lot of times you'll hear in the Catholic Church, St. Mary, St. Joseph. It's usually people that were in the Bible and that had amazing encounters with Jesus. But did you know that you're considered a saint? You are a saint yourself. Now, I don't greet you Saint Michelle, you know, Saint Deborah. No, we don't do that. That would be kind of weird, especially if we were in a public setting, like, hi, at the grocery store. Hey, Saint so-and-so. That's not what we're talking about. God is asking us to understand who we are. So first we have Paul, who's the teacher, the preacher of the gospel, ready to spread the news of the good news. And then a saint is a holy one. They are justified, they are made more pure by the cross of Jesus Christ. They are bound in truth to the word of God. All Christians must be saints. And if they come not under that character on earth, so if you're not a Christian on earth, listen to me, they will never be saints in the glory in heaven. He calls them faithful in Christ Jesus, believers in him, and a firm and constant in their obedience to who God is and to his truths and to his ways. That is what a saint is. So let's read this verse again. Paul is saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, the teacher, is talking to the body of Christ. As I am, Pastor Jess, talking to you today, and he's about to drop some things on them. He's about to remind them of who they are. You might be sitting in your seats today going, I'm just me. I don't think I'm anything special or ordinary. I know that there's a God in heaven who saved me, but I don't know what it is that you're talking about. Well, listen, you're not just a normal individual. You are somebody who carries a supernatural power called Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, and it's something supernatural that's going to work through you, and you carry some things that God has given you. And you go, what? Not me. I just feel like I do the normal stuff every day. But when you begin to pray, you begin to break through in the spirit. When you begin to use your prayer language like we talked about last week, you begin to do some special things, some supernatural things. God begins to stir some things inside of you. So today I'm here as an apostle of Jesus Christ, somebody who loves God and is spreading the good news and teaching you. You are full-time ministers. You are saints of the Most High God. If you are obedient to the truth and the word of God, put your listening ears on, because this is what God has for us today. The next part of this verse says, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses are amazing. Grace to you. Here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, grace is a big deal to us. Pastor Jim, I love how he says, it is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I cannot do it. Every day I get through something that I thought I couldn't do. Every day I know you go through your past and you're like, I don't know how I did that today, but I did it. Have you ever had a checklist for your day and you think there's just no way I'm getting through this? And you did that and some and you were like, I'm awesome. I mean, I used to, when I was a stay-home mom, I had my list. I loved lists. They have now flown out the door now that I'm a working mom and a stay-home mom. I'm like, I'm lucky if I get to do anything. But when I had my list, I would go through my list and then I would complete my list and then I would show my list to Dan, and Dan would be like, fine. But to me, that was God's grace, because I had no idea how I was going to drive around town and get all the appointments done and get all the food made and get everything done and go help the church and go do what it was. But I did. For some reason, I would fall into bed and just be like, oh, we did a lot today, God, and that was awesome. You see, you need the grace of God to speak a word in season when someone is hurting. Sometimes you know someone is in need in life and you don't know how to meet their need. Guess what? You're not gonna meet their need. You're not good enough for that, but you have a God in heaven who lives in you, to that when you go to that person, you can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me grace to speak what you need to speak right now to their hearts. Lord, help me that if they need a physical touch, that, Lord, I'm not a touchy person, but I will hug them if you need me to hug them, because they just need a hug from heaven today. You see, you operate in grace. Maybe a tragedy hits your family or a friend's family, and you're that person that is there. Then you need the grace of God to know what to do in those circumstances, what to say in those moments. You see, grace is given to us, is what this is saying. And check this out, peace is given to us. How many of you need a good dose of some peace? You're like, I don't need any more drama. Save the drama for your mama. And now I'm the mama. And I'm like, I hate that saying, because I'm the mama and you are drama. And so, you know, and so there's God. And he's saying, grace to you and peace from our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Paul reminding the saints of what it is we are and what we have. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of what it is that God wants for us. I'm going to continue on in this verse. Blessed be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Can you say has blessed me? With every spiritual blessing. Say spiritual blessing. In heavenly places in Christ. I don't know about you, but I would like not just a blessing, but I want a spiritual blessing from God. And so here it is. In these verses, this shows me that heaven is very involved with our everyday Christian life. That heaven is not turned off to what's happening in your world. Heaven is completely aware of the doses of grace and peace that you're going to need to get through that day, to say the things you need to say, to do the things you need to do. You know, Anna, I'm looking at you, and she's 39 weeks pregnant, and I remember when I was pregnant with Micah, and I was 39 weeks pregnant as well, and he was 10 pounds, 4 ounces when he came out. And I had no idea, thank God. And I remember, I'm giving you horse stories, right? And I remember that was my second child, so I said, oh, give me the epidural, because the first one I was like, no, I'm gonna do this on my own. Stupid girl, just get the epidural. So, and I'm so grateful I did. And so, with Chloe though, during that labor, I remember being so scared. My water had broke, and I remember just, Dan was so excited when the water broke, and he's like pacing the house like, what do we do, what do we do, what do we do? I'm like, get me a towel, you know? And then we were like driving to the doctor, and I'm like, these contractions are like not even anything. Oh, this is gonna be so easy. Okay, well, in the beginning, it is. And then as the labor continues on, it's intense. And I remember telling the Lord, you are going to have to give me your grace to do this. I remember saying that to God. I remember like, I cannot do this because I'm really scared and I don't know what to expect. I don't think that my body can do this, God. You know, you're arguing with God about how he made you, and this has been happening for centuries and decades and forever. And you're telling God, I don't think this is possible, right? And God goes, don't worry, baby girl. Everything's possible with me. This is going to happen. She's coming out. And so I just remember asking God for grace in that intense moment. In your moments of uncertainty, remember to ask for an extra dose of grace. You see, God is there for us. He's covered you. He's blessed you. He's anointed you to do this. And so we have been given grace and peace and blessings from heaven. So how do we in this world walk in the wealth of God? How do we walk in the wealth of God in our lives? This is what we're going to learn today. So if you're taking notes, number one, you're going to live in his grace. Grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you cannot do it. I love this. The word grace means charis. And it's a beautiful word in the Greek. And it's the same word that is used to Mary when the angel visited her and gave her God assignment. Pretty cool, right? Grace was also, this word charis, it's 130 times in the Bible. It is that same word for grace is 130 times. Now there's different derivatives of it. So this one derivative, this one path, this one word was also used many times as when Jesus was teaching to the Pharisees as a young boy, when he was healing people. A lot of times you will see this same word grace used when Jesus is operating and doing signs and miracles and wonders. But check this out. In Ephesians, he says, grace and peace I give to you. So that means the same grace that Jesus operated under here on earth is the same grace that you and I get to operate nowadays, today, tomorrow, and forever as his saints on earth. Is that awesome? This is not, you should have a greater amen than that, because let me tell you, you ain't that cool. You need the grace of God. You're not that awesome. Let me tell you, without the grace of God, you need Jesus. You are nothing without him. We are everything with him and through him, and his grace through us demands some incredible things of us to step out in faith, to be greater, and to do bigger things. You see, this is who Jesus was on earth, and now he has left that to us, that beautiful grace that we get to operate in daily. How awesome is that? Thank you, Jesus, for the grace of God. I am so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for it. In John 1:16, it says, and his fullness we have all received, and from grace to grace. Sometimes we go, what is grace to grace? That's moment to moment. You're going to need some grace to grace. You know that one step in front of the next step? Oh God, give me grace right now for this, and give me grace right now for that, and give me grace for this right now, and give me grace for that. I don't know what to do with this child that is screaming, and I have spanked them 3 times, and God, I don't want to do it again. Oh, the grace of God will give you the courage to put that child in their place so that they can grow and learn what discipline is, so they can have healthy boundaries and grow up healthy children, so that they will know the love of a father and a parent, and they will keep the path of righteousness. You see, listen to me. When you have an adult child that's driving you crazy and not serving God, what do you do then? When you're on the phone with them and they're, you just want to like scream and you want to hang up and you want to say things that aren't right. You know what you do? Oh, grace, God. I need your grace to love them because I don't want to love them right now. I need your grace, God, to help me to see what you see, because I'm not seeing what you're seeing, God. Help me, God, to have a boldness to stand for righteousness and not give in to their sin, because I need to be a godly woman no matter what they've chosen. You see, it's grace in these moments. It's grace to grace. When you get those bills and you go, fear wants to come in and grip your heart and take you down a path you shouldn't take, you know what you do? The grace of God is going to be on this. He's going to do this, whether I know how to do it or not. He's got it. It's in his hands. He's not shocked by this bill, but I am, but he's not. And so I'm going to tap into the grace that Jesus walked on this earth with. I'm going to tap into the grace of God that saved my soul when I was undeserving of it. I'm going to tap into the grace of God that has carried me when I was so not worthy to be carried, but yet he swooped me up and he took me in. You see, it's the grace of God that is going to take you from grace to grace on a daily basis. That's what God is asking of us. Let's turn to John 8, 1 through 12. Are you getting something from the word today? I don't know about you, but I'm like, Lord, I just want to like dwell and rest in your grace. All week I've been like, there's been an opportunity to get flustered. I'm like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. This is a story of an adulterous woman. And I'm going to read it to you, the whole thing, okay? Is that all right with you? It says, and everyone went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early that morning, in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Then he said, testing him, that he might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stood down and he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Can you imagine? Here you are talking to God, the one who's supposed to fix it all, and he just doesn't even pay attention to you. He gets on the ground and he begins to write. What is he writing in the dirt? Do you think maybe he was writing some of their sins down in the dirt? I don't know. I would like to think it doesn't actually say, but I just wonder what he was writing in the dirt. He was not moved by the accusation. And then it says, verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it began being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? He has no one condemned you? She said, no, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. That is grace beyond. He didn't tell her what her sin was. He didn't point it out. He did not commend those people for bringing it. Thank you for bringing me the sinner. Let's deal with this head on. But sometimes as saints, I don't think we give grace to other people. We become the judges of man instead of the ones that show grace and mercy to the sinners. Let's live by God's example. Here he was writing in the ground. I mean, when I get to him, I'm going to be like, what were you writing? I want to know. Because that impacted them so much that they saw probably what he was saying. And they saw his character and his demeanor as if he's not even moved by the accusation. Yet he knew that he was going to die for the sins of man. And he said, go, you are no longer accused. You see, that's who we were, girls. We were all sinners. I was the biggest sinner you could think of. I know that I was a hot mess. I broke God's heart many times over. I think about the moments of when I chose to sin and when I chose to walk away from God. Every time I'm in worship, I always think about, gosh, hallelujah, because God, you were there to save me. You saw me when I didn't see me. You reconciled my heart back to you when I was so undeserving, when sin was overpowering and I didn't know how to get away from it, when it confused my mind and when those things tainted my heart. Oh, but the grace of God came in and my mom's prayers and all of those things ushered in the forgiveness of my sins. And God died on the cross for us as sinners. And those out there that are doing their thing, listen, we have to love them back to life. We need to tell them the truth when that opportunity comes. And we don't back down from who Jesus is. But we can still love them and we can still be honest with them and tell them what God loves them, that God has a plan for them, that the grace of God that can get them through this hard time and through this sin. Because I'll tell you something, it's hard work on our part as saints. It's hard work. It wasn't easy for me to get back in to the righteousness of God, the right standing with God. It wasn't easy. It took years. It took years for me to wash my mind of the things that I had allowed in. It took years for my heart to be cleansed. It took years for my physical body to want to do things for the kingdom of God instead of it drawing me towards the sin of the world. You see, let's show some grace in that time. I'm sure this woman who was accused needed that grace so that she could take that step of faith into, I've got to change. I've got to do something new. I'm going to serve this man called Jesus, and I believe in you. And you see, that is what is going to change the hearts of people. And listen, that's what changed your heart. He got a hold of you. When did he catch you? When did you realize that the grace of God covered your sin and that you were blessed and that now every day you get to walk in it? But sometimes you need to be reminded that you can walk in it. And that this isn't your walk. This is his walk with you. That you're not alone in it. That he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. That he's going to get you from grace to grace into the new places in time. So number one, how do I live this wealthy life that God has called me as a saint of God? Number one, you live in grace. Number two, you're going to live in peace. Peace is a hard one. Have you ever had a great moment and you're like, this is the best day? Like you started out all really good. And then by the end of the day, you're like, what happened? How in the world did I get so angry. How did that person so get to me? I said, nothing's going to get to me today. It's going to be the best day ever. And then you're like, that was a fail. That was a failed day. I did not do that well. I'm not walking in peace. And you just go there, right? Especially as girls, because we're a little up and down. You have to admit, we are, right? We're like, one moment we're crying, the next moment we're laughing, the next moment we're really mad at you because you did something wrong and we're going to tell you how it is. And women can go up and down. I believe God has grace for us because he knows that he made us that way. One time I came out of a meeting and I realized I was with a whole bunch of men and I had a little bit of tears. And that was probably really embarrassing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, that's how I made you. I need you. I need that side to that meeting. I need that side. And I went, oh, okay. Thank you. You see, God will bring peace to whatever it is you're questioning about yourself. Some of you don't like yourselves. Some of you beat yourselves up constantly. But can I tell you something? When you beat you up, you're beating God up. Because he made you. He formed you. He loves you. He equipped you. He gave you the hair you have. He gave you the eye color you have. We're always trying to change it. Did you ever notice that when people keep their original color, it actually looks better on them? I don't know. That's always been my thing with my daughter because she has this really pretty strawberry blonde hair and now they're all wanting to, you know, do colors on their tips and stuff. And I'm like, no, that's ugly. Like, just be you, boo-boo. Be you. You know, I'm constantly trying to get her to be her, not because everybody else is doing it. But that's just natural. That's a natural thing for us to want to do something. But I believe when we have a piece of God of who we are, all of a sudden, I don't care who you are. I'm happy for you, but I'm going to be me. And I'm happy to be me. Maybe you need to find some peace in your finances. Maybe those finances come and all of a sudden anxiety, you could just feel it. Like it starts here and then all of a sudden it's here and then all of a sudden you're spewing. Oh, we're screwed. Oh, and you said screwed. Yeah, you know what? I did, because that's what you say. I don't know how this is gonna pan out. This is crazy. Now listen, I'm not up here saying this is what you say. I say it. Okay, so I'm preaching to myself because we have to catch that we're not operating in an atmosphere of peace in those moments. So just last week, all this stuff was happening. I came down in my kitchen. My husband and my kids were down there. And I'm like, listen, today's this and this and this, and I don't know how we're going to get it all done. And then this bill came in, and I don't know. You know, these mortgages, they just keep going up. The percentages just keep going up. And, you know, the rents aren't going up, but the mortgages are. And, you know, and you can just tell my husband's just staring at me. And he had just preached a message on peace. And he's like, well, you know what your problem is? And I'm like, yeah, I got a lot of them. Like, at that moment, you kind of, like, wait for it. You know, like, it's coming because the preacher's about to tell you what's wrong with you. And he's like, you need to find the peace of God. You heard it in the message. You need to find it. I had this vision of myself in that very moment. Like, no one else was in the room. And I just reached up to heaven, and I just grabbed air from heaven. I know that's crazy, right? And I just went like this. And all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Whatever. It's all going to work out. I'm not even going to think about it. God's got it. He knew these were going. We're good. And I walked out of the room. I went and got dressed, went on with my day. I never thought about it again. You see, it's peace that is something that we need to take from heaven because it's ours. And we need to apply it to the situation of concern, the situation of stress, the situation of uncertainty, the situation, listen to me, of depression and of sickness. And when you get a bad report, you have to have the peace of God and go back to what the word says and keep yourself in faith. You see, grace and peace work hand in hand. Isn't that awesome? And God is saying, I'm giving those to you. You will walk in grace and you will walk in peace. I love that. In John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I love that. And not as this world gives, do I give to you. Ooh, let's stop for a second. I just want to like dissect this for a second. Peace I leave to you. So he went and he sat at the right hand of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And he left all those things to us here on earth. We are what? His saints, okay? So we are his saints, and he's leaving to us peace, okay? So then he's saying in this verse, I love this, I leave to you, my peace I give to you. That means nobody can take it from you. This is not something that the devil could come in and say, I'm taking that from you. You allow him to take that from you. So girls, we need to switch back over and go, oh no, you're not taking my peace today. Not today, Satan. Not going to do it. You're not going to take my peace, because that's a gift from my heavenly Father that is not yours to take. You see, sometimes you need to just tell yourself that in the mirror after you've gone to the bathroom and you're alone for the first time. You ain't taking my peace today, Satan. Today I'm a good girl and I'm going to walk in the fullness of God. You see, my peace I give to you. When Jesus sat and the accusers are coming at him, I'm sure that was a chaotic moment. Here he is and all the accusers are there. They've got stones in their hand and they're ready to accuse this woman, and he just peacefully stops, doesn't say anything, and gets down and begins writing. He was not moved. He was not tainted. He was not frazzled. He didn't even defend. He was at peace. See, peace speaks more than the words of our mouth. Peace has more power than the noise that we can create. Sometimes we need to just sit and be in peace. Sometimes when everything is going crazy around you, I believe God wants you to just go find that quiet place and just go, okay, God, I need your peace. I know you already gave it to me. Lord, I'm just gonna receive it right now. And rest in his peace. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to, you know, the merit system and the star system with God, it doesn't work like that. You are his saint. Your grace is already given to you, and peace is going to follow you. But you have to remind yourself the power of the peace of God. I love the rest of this verse. It says, not as the world gives do I give to you. That in itself can preach a whole message. Because this world is going to give you something faulty. This world is going to give you something packaged in peace and turns out like hell. Let me explain. Have you ever gone to Disneyland? And you're like, this is going to be like the most funnest day ever. This is going to be so peaceful with my family and nobody else. It's going to be so fun. And then you get there and you're like in 3-hour lines. People are cussing around you. You got kids. I'm hungry. And they're crying. And for me, my kids all poop themselves at Disneyland always. And we had to like go find clothes. It was just never fun. I'm like, this is Disney hell. I know, Michelle, you're like, what? This is blasphemy. But I'm telling you, it is grace on Disney days. And so, not only that, it's the only place where the mouse has the humans trapped. It's the only place. And so, you're thinking you're going to have a great day, right? Or how about you go on this vacation? Have you ever been on a vacation and in your mind you're like, family vacation, we're all gonna get together. It's gonna be so great. And then everybody fights. Nobody's happy. What do you wanna eat? I don't know. Nobody's happy with whatever's cooked. You spend way too much money and afterwards you're like, was that really peaceful? I feel like I need a vacation from my vacation. That's how the world gives us peace. It packages it. And then it says, here you go, and it costs you a lot, and it takes a lot of energy out of you, and it stresses you out. But the peace of God does complete opposite. He gives it to you, it costs you nothing, and you actually can find rest in it, and your soul is satisfied in it. Nothing on this earth is like the peace of God. Nothing. You see, God does not give things as the world does. Let your heart not be troubled. Woo, if you know that you got the peace of God, you don't have to be troubled about anything, right? So when you know you're troubled, it's okay, girlfriend, just switch over. Nope, wait, I'm troubled. I got to get in peace. Nope, I got to get in peace. You got to stop yourself and you got to change your mind frame. You got to stop yourself and tell yourself, no, I'm going to get into the peace of God right now. I'm not going to let my circumstances define my future. Because I can tap into the grace, I can tap into the peace. And then it says, neither let it be afraid. Oh, I love mom's definition of fear. False evidence appearing real. Sometimes fear speaks way too much to us. It defines our days, it defines our moments, it defines who we are. And God is saying, knock it off. You need to switch over into faith. You need to grab my peace. You need to get into my grace and be the saint I've called you to be. So when Paul is greeting these people in the beginning of Ephesians, I love this, and he's saying, let me get there, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the Rock Church girls, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go there one more thing, one more time. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, of course God is blessed, right? We read that and we're like, yeah, hello, he is blessed. He is what blessing comes from. But check this out, the next part of that. I love this. Who has blessed us? Say, who has blessed me? There you go. With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The next way to live a wealthy, wonderful life as a saint of God is to live in your blessing. Sometimes we can look at all the bad things around us and we don't even see the blessings in front of our face. The devil does that. Do you know that he magnifies the bad and it's easy to not even see the good? He works overtime to make that happen. Many times somebody will say something bad to you and it will ping your heart and you'll think about it for days, right? But then somebody you love comes up, no, that's not true. God love, that is not true. That's not who you are. This is what God says about you. And you're like, okay, thank you, but whatever. Do we do that? We need to knock it off. Because blessing is something that comes from heaven. And it's supernatural blessing, which is even better than a regular blessing. To be blessed means this, to be favored by God. Heavenly blessing isn't just normal. It's not like I gave you a gift card and we're going to go to lunch, or I brought you a Starbucks. Those are awesome blessings, so we do receive those in Jesus' name. I'm kidding. Okay. Those are earthly blessings, right? But heavenly blessings, they are supernatural. It expands what I can comprehend. Ooh, I like that, because my mind, you know, Pastor Jess is not that smart, but Pastor Jess is smart through God. And so when I can tap into the Holy Spirit and get into that grace and peace, I all of a sudden can think beyond what I would normally be able to think through. Sometimes I tell the girls, you know, I just need to get alone and pray about that. Not because I'm so spiritual, but because I so need to get alone with God and find out what his thoughts are on this matter so that we can do what it is he needs us to do. So that the blessing for you guys, the body of Christ, the blessing for the community that we're trying to reach, the blessing for the world that this church is reaching can be expanded to what God says and not what I want to put it in a little box to. You see, God's blessings are beyond what we can comprehend. It covers and it shows mercy in ways I could never do that in. And blessing brings favor in times of need. I love that. I've had people ask me many times, why are some people blessed and others not? It's a good question, right? First of all, I would say to them, stop comparing yourself. Because when you look at someone else's life, you didn't walk the steps they walked to get there. So it's easy to judge them on why they're there. Right? Why do they get that? Why don't they get that? It looks like they're doing the same thing. You have no idea what is happening behind the scenes in their private time. You have no idea what faith steps they had to take that others didn't have to take. And check this out. This is what the Lord spoke to me. He goes, my blessings are not on a merit system, Jess. My blessings are on a faith system. What? He said, when you switch over into faith, it unlocks heaven, and I can begin to pour out the blessings because my blessings are theirs and faith activates them. So when you don't see something and you go, I don't know how this is going to get done, but God's in control, so I'm not going to worry about it. All of a sudden, God goes, all right, there we go. Now let's get to work. Come on, let's do this. I'm going to pour out such a blessing on them that they have no idea what, they cannot contain it. Ooh, I love that. How about this? You are believing God and there's things in your heart you gave up on. Maybe you stopped being in faith for those things. Maybe they just look too far-fetched. Maybe they're too big. You stop praying for that godly man because you only know ungodly men. Well, guess what? God has a godly man. somewhere that he's preparing. You need to get yourself back into the mode of not just because, but I'm going to get myself, God, I'm going to go back into faith on this. And Lord, I know you want to bless me with a wonderful husband, because you say that a woman who is found, that she is a wonderful gift to a man. And God, I want to be a gift to someone. Maybe you need to rejuvenate that inside of yourself. Maybe you say, I wanted a house a long time ago, but you know, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen, and I'm just always going to be in the predicament I'm in. Well, you are with that mouth. But then the other person that you know is your friend gets something, and you're like, well, why are they so blessed? Well, how about maybe their faith was like, come on, God, let's do this. What do I need to do to get this done, Lord? Let's do this together. Let's work hand in hand. Let's do that. And God says, ooh, I'm ready to pour out all blessings on you. And you see their life just pouring out of blessing in the middle of tragedy. Have you ever seen that? People in the middle of the worst circumstances, but so blessed. Let me tell you something. Heaven is pouring out on them like a whole bucket of water, because there's something going on with them and God. And there's the favor of God on them. And there's the peace of God on them. And they're operating in grace, because they know they cannot do this alone. But God has blessings for each and every one of us. You are not just not special as Pastor Jess. You know what? There is not a respecter of persons in heaven. God loves you as much as he loves me. Why am I blessed and you're not? Well, you know what? Maybe I took some hard choices that weren't easy and totally uncomfortable. And you see me now and go, oh, look at her all put together. But you did not see me in my darkest place when I was on the ground beaten up, almost dead, asking and begging God to get me out of that situation, and I will serve you all the days of my life. And then I had to make hard decisions, cut off relationships. I had to change my mindset. I had to tell my body no. I had to go and be hungry and thirst after the things of God. And in that hunger and that thirst and that drive, guess what happened? I began to get some blessing, and I went, ooh, this is good. I haven't tasted this. Ooh, this is good. It's addictive. God's blessings are addictive. His presence is addictive. The peace of God is addictive. If you're going to be an addict, you better be an addict for Jesus. Because I'm telling you right now, there's something in what God has for us. This is not God saying, I just want to bless just so-and-so because, you know, they're so wonderful. No, it's God saying, what is she doing in her private time behind closed doors? Because I've got all these blessings, and I'm just waiting for her to connect with me. I'm waiting for her to be the saint I have called her to be. I'm waiting for her to tap in and to press in and to believe me like she's never believed me before. You see, God's blessings are for you. God's blessings are for me. God's blessings are for this broken and lost city that has no idea that they need a savior. But there's a whole bunch of girls in here who say, oh, but I could tell them. And you know what? Somebody needs to tell them that Jesus loves them. Somebody needs to tell them that there's a God in heaven that sees their sin but knows the answer to help them get out of it. You see, many people live in sin because it's easy. It's easy to give in. It's easier to give in to sin than to fight it. And people don't want to work hard anymore. They get weary. It's just too hard. I can't keep doing it. Guess what? What would have happened if they kept fighting that good fight of faith? They would have been delivered. What would have happened if they would have just pressed in a little harder, got closer to God in a way they should have? But you know what? It was just, there were too many other voices controlling them. Why don't you be the voice that's opposing? The voice that says, you know what? God still wants more for you. There's still something you're not tapping into in your life. There's still greater measures for you to take. And they're not earthly things in success, but they're godly things in supernatural. You see, girls, you can pour blessing out on the people that are hurting because God has done it for you. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been blessed with all and every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to go to Psalms 103. It talks about God's blessing. And I'm going to use a translation called The Voice. It's a paraphrase, but I just loved how it explained these scriptures. It almost was the most beautiful poetic way of saying these scriptures. So let's just sit back and enjoy this for a second. It says Psalms 103, 1 through 5. They should have it on the overheads. It says, oh, my soul, come praise the eternal. with all that is within me, body, emotions, mind, and will, every part of who I am, praise his holy name. Oh, my soul, come and praise the eternal. Sing a song from a grateful heart and sing and never forget all that good he has done. Despite all your many offenses, he forgives and releases you. Ooh, I love that. More than any doctor, he heals your diseases. He reaches deep into the pit to deliver you from death, and he crowns you with unfailing love and compassion like a king. Verse 5, when your soul is famished and withering, he fills you with the beautiful things, satisfying you as long as you live. He makes you strong like an eagle, restoring your youth. You see, there's blessing for you. You need some extra energy today? Tap into the one who made you, because he's got that blessing of energy. It says that right there, restoring you like an eagle. Maybe you need a little heart pump up today. Go press into God today and get alone with him and get let the peace of God come upon you. Let the presence of God dwell and live and stay within you and fill your heart. Stop filling your heart with things that are not going to be blessings for your future. Begin to tap into the one who wants to rain blessing down on you, who wants to rain out his favor upon you. Because why? Because you are the saints of God. That's what Paul is saying in all of this. And so this is how we're going to do this. We started this and we found out who we were. Who Paul was, we set it up. Now we understand who we are and what some of the gifts are that we're gonna need. Listen to me, you're gonna need them for the next step of learning in this word of God. Because as Ephesians takes us through this, grace, peace, and the blessings of God are gonna be things that you're gonna need to operate in the next level of teaching you're gonna get. So did you get something today from God?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.